FST. Mike and Joe bringing in Emery Hunt in here in a minute. Talking NFL draft. Do we have Emery with us? Is he here? Do I hear the voice of F-ball game plan? Emery Hunt. Not sure if he's here yet, but can I hear him? Is that you, Emery?
Yep. I'm here.
What's up, man? How you doing? Sorry, I raced back to the microphone just in time. So good to have you back on the show and talking NFL draft. So Joe had that question right before the break. Why is it that Dwayne Haskins is falling down certain draft boards?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know if he's falling in the real NFL draft boards. He's falling in the media draft boards. Right. So you always have to take that with a grain of salt because we don't really know what's going on until it actually happens. I think the media right now is doing a good job of creating content. So that's why you see mock draft 7.0 and mock draft 13.0. You know, you switch up names, create the news, then you talk about the news. And when really in the NFL, nothing probably has changed because we don't know what their boards look like.
Go ahead, Joe.
That's a great point. Yes. Sterling Shepard just got a contract extension with the Giants, and there was some rumors that the Patriots also had been interested in him. So can we get a sense that the Pats are, maybe the Pats aren't tipping their hand, but do we think that that's maybe where they're going to go with pick number 32? I was looking at, like you said, there's tons and tons of material out there with mock drafts and all this. I saw maybe Deebo Samuel going to them. Do you think that based on the rumors that the Pats had been interested in a Sterling Shepard, that they might be going after a wide receiver with their first pick?
I mean, it would make sense just based off their personnel. You know, we say this a lot where when you look at the New England Patriots on paper, you don't know how they win games because they don't necessarily have the most quote-unquote talented team. And, it's on the perimeter. So if you look at their depth chart right now, they have Philip Dorsett, Julian Edelman, Maurice Harris, Bruce Ellington, Braxton Berrios, and Matthew Slater. So it's probably a big tip of where they're probably going to go with that first round pick, because right now, outside of Julian Edelman, who's well into his 30s, they don't have much that really threatens you on a perimeter. So that's probably why they were in the market for a receiver, and that's probably why they're going to take one at pick 32.
Yeah, I mean, I really could see that. Emery, again, Emery Hunt, you can find him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. He's going to be he's going to be joining us on draft night. It'll be myself, Dave Martinez, Emery Hunt, and possibly somebody else in there. We are waiting to hear back on somebody. So I'll just tease that. It could be an interesting draft night. But it might be a little bit more tame than last year, but we'll still have fun with it. Last year it was an interesting study of live radio, but we did have a lot of fun while doing the draft. So we did a mock draft the other night, Emery, and you're going to be seeing some video that we filmed it. We didn't do it live. We filmed it, and you'll see a lot of video clips here. So the first few picks seem to be like relatively set in stone. The Kyler Murray thing, I feel like, here's my conspiracy theory of the day. I think Goodell or somebody may have had a conversation with Arizona, like, please don't trade Rosen yet, because the second you do that, everybody knows who you're going to pick. So we want a little bit of intrigue as we get close. Like, think about that. If they trade Rosen right now, everybody knows who they're picking. Everybody sort of knows anyway, but at least it has the illusion of keeping it a mystery for now, correct?
Correct. But you also saw this last year with the Browns. They traded DeShone Kizer right after the combine. And I guess because the conversation last year was, okay, we know the Browns are probably
going to pick
a quarterback.
Right.
Well, which quarterback
right.
will they? So with this one, I mean, they could have played it with the two guys and said, you know what? Which one will you take? Will you take Haskins or will you take Murray? But it seems like because of the fit, as far as Cliff Kingsbury and what he's talked about before, and you know, the infatuation with Kyler Murray, they're going to play this thing out, and that is going to be the sole focus. Or, you know, the other side of the coin is that it could be the biggest bluff job in NFL draft history, where he talked about this so often that everyone believes it's going to happen when the entire time. They either wanted Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams or someone else other than Kyler Murray. And another option would be maybe they take Kyler Murray for someone else and trade him to that team that also wants Kyler Murray. And therefore, they can take the guy that they want and swap the – kind of like a Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning deal again. So there's a ton of options, a ton of conspiracies out there, a ton of scenarios. I'm just excited to see how it all plays out on April 25th.
If you're them, this is a really quick follow-up. If you're them, would you take Murray and trade Rosen, or would you keep Rosen?
I would. You know what? I would keep Rosen and build around the rest of the roster. But if you look at Rosen and say, okay, well, at the end of the day, this guy is a lot better, then I have no problems with taking Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, because they are the better players over Rosen. So I can understand that aspect as well. If you're going to say, okay, we just want to take the better team and we know the better player, and we know right now that what we saw last year is probably Rosen's ceiling. You know, he's going to be good, but is he going to be, top 10 quarterback in the league? I mean, do we really think Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback in the league? So I think if you want to take a guy that's just flat out better at one of the more important positions, then I'm all for it. But I would probably use that pick to take one of the best players in the draft and go from there.
All right. Are we turning our attention to wide receivers? I was noticing Marquise Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Some of these mocks have him going ahead of DK Metcalf. Brown was looking at his draft profile, explosive speed, could turn short catches into big plays. Concern with him, it seems to be his frame, 5'9", 166. Is that going to be a big issue? Like, if you're an NFL team, would you prefer to take a guy like DK Metcalf, obviously super talented as well, as a Superman frame, or does the 5'9", 166, the small frame with Brown, worry you in terms of his durability?
I look at it like this, where, you know, to me, size doesn't equate to injury, because if that was the case, Brandon Jacobs would have been the most indestructible running back in football history. You stayed injured. And a guy like Warwick Dunn at 5'9", 178 would have been injured his entire career. He ran for over 10,000 yards. So injuries, you don't worry about injuries until they happen. And you always look at guys that have had injury history, and injuries are a freak occurrence. But when you look at both guys, DK Metcalf has the neck injury, and you hope that is a one-time thing. But Marquise Brown seems to have these little small nagging injuries that keep popping up. Foot injury, little shoulder injury. So you wonder how that is going to carry itself going forward. We saw the same thing with a guy like John Ross, who had an extensive injury history at Washington, and he's had that same type of bad luck in the NFL. So I think that's more of a telltale sign than height, weight, speed. So I think for me, because I like what Metcalf brings to the table as far as a big X receiver, juxtaposed with a guy like Brown does, I think there's better receivers at Brown at his position as a flanker. I would probably lean toward Metcalf, although Brown is a dynamic option. I just think Brown is probably a little bit more one-dimensional as opposed to a guy like Metcalf.
So, all right, we talked about Metcalf and Brown. What other wide receivers do you have with a first-round grade? I can tell you, just to tease it, in our first-round mock draft, and this was a combination of myself, Rich Sherminello, Joe Lisi, Gabe Morenci, Frank Stamfull, Joe Ranieri, Keith Irizarry. We all sort of picked for different teams. I picked for the Packers, and that was the first wide receiver off the board. I went with Metcalf. I could see a world where Metcalf and Adams together could form a pretty significant duo. You have to take into account the fact that they did draft three wide receivers last year, Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. But my thought process as I was going through it is like, well, yeah, those guys are nice to have, but are you going to wait for one of them to break out? Is it going to be Marquez Valdez-Scantling? There's something there. But having those two huge weapons for Rodgers would be something else. So anyway, my long diatribe is to say that we picked Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Paris Campbell, those are the only three wide receivers in the first round. I assume you have first round grades on those three, but who else do you have first round grades on?
Well, I have first round grades on N'Keal Harry, Paris Campbell, DK Metcalf, and Anthony Ratliff Williams. But I know Anthony Ratliff Williams probably won't go in round one. So if I had to take a receiver in round one, the first one would probably be N'Keal Harry because of his versatility, his ability to help out on special teams, and, you know, the fact that this is a guy that could take a short pass a long way. And you want guys that are good after the catch because that's how we play in the NFL. That's the way the game is. Is you don't go deep down the field consistently. You got to win in the short to intermediate area and allow yourself to make plays after the catch. So I think Harry does that better than anyone in this receiver group. A guy like Paris Campbell with his speed probably could thrive in the short to intermediate game. We saw him do that at Ohio State. Once they moved him inside, instead of trying to make him an outside receiver like he did earlier in his career, he thrived as a slot guy underneath and utilized his rack skills to his effectiveness. Also, in conjunction with a guy that's deadly active, that allows you to run as a catch with ease. So I think when you look at those guys, it would probably be where I would go in round one because of what they bring to the table, how the game is played at the NFL level, and what I see there can be best utilized because of their versatility.
Switching over to tight ends, I'm seeing Hockenson sometimes being mentioned as the first tight end that should go off the board. Noah Fant is mentioned, Irv Smith. I mean, do you think that it's important to get one of these guys in the first round? Or if you're a team, can you wait maybe for a Waring tight end from San Diego State? It seems that the Hockenson has the total package where he could catch passes and also he's also a very good run blocker.
If you're bringing up run blocking early for a tight end, you don't take that player in the top 10. This is where I always want to ask the other question where is Hockenson better than O.J. Howard as a prospect? Is he better than Evan Engram was as a prospect? Is he better than Kellen Winslow, Jeremy Shockey, or, you know, those guys? Because if not, then you don't take that guy in the top 10. You know, you don't take a guy in the top 10 where he may not be better than his teammate. You know, so I look at that as, you know, I don't know where this Hockenson hype came from that vaulted him as a top 10 talent. I think he's a good player. You know, I don't think he's a top 10 player in this class, in my opinion, at that position. I think his teammate, Fant, is a half, you know, is slightly better because he's a better athlete. But also, when you look at flex, if you want to look at a flex tight end, you know, no one's talking about Alize Mack out of Notre Dame. No one's talking about Jay Sternberg out of A&M. To me, those guys are probably more along the lines of what teams want at the receiver position as a tight end. But Fant and Hockenson, I think, are guys that can survive in line. But, you know, with this position, again, if you're not a game changer and just, you know, extremely explosive on film, like more recently O.J. Howard was, and even he went in the pick 20? So I don't think Hockenson is better than O.J. Howard as a prospect, so I don't know why he would garner top 10 hype. But you have to take these guys in the first round, to me, because, you know, how the position is not as deep. And so whenever that run on tight ends go, you probably, if they're the top two on your board and you know there's only, quote-unquote, two, you probably want to take that guy in the first round because you don't know, especially if you have a big gap between your number one tight end and your number two tight end on your draft board, you take him in the first round just to make sure you secure his rights. But I would be hard-pressed to take a guy that isn't as game-changing as those other tight ends in the top 10.
Yeah, and you got to get another guy like Josh Oliver from San Jose State that gets some good grades. He would probably be a day two to day three pick, and you mentioned Sternberger earlier. I think you made an interesting point. Like, when we were doing the mock draft, first of all, I had the Packers, and I was just assuming one of the tight ends would fall, but it didn't happen. Even in our mock draft, Fant and Hockenson went back-to-back, I think at 9 and 10, to the Bills and... Yeah, I'll pull it up right now, to the Bills and Broncos. So, you know, I think the good point that you made about, well, if these guys aren't top 10 players, don't draft them in the top 10. There is some, there obviously has to be some attention paid to the needs that you have on the team, But if you're overdrafting to that extent, you're going to find yourself disappointed, particularly if you aren't prepared to use the player to his strength. We saw a really, really good example of this last year, Emery, in that Eric Ebron was effectively a bust for the Lions, and he goes to the Colts, and he immediately explodes again back onto the NFL scene, catching all kinds of touchdowns. They have two interesting and talented tight ends in Indianapolis now, but you really do have to be prepared, and you and I have talked about this before, to use the player to his strengths. We saw in recent years the Lions are a perfect example of that because of Ebron and even Lincoln Tomlinson, a guard that they had drafted.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. When you look at a football team, do you ever find yourself saying, man, they are a tight end away from being where they need to be? You know what I'm saying? And as much as people love to dump on a running back position and say it doesn't matter, you got those same people saying, take T.J. Hockenson, who's, you know, a good player, in the top 10, at a position where you don't really notice it right off the bat. Oh, man, this team desperately needs a tight end in order to get to the Super Bowl. No, it doesn't work that way.
Good stuff. So that's Emery Hunt. He's going to be on the live draft show with myself and Dane Martinez and a player to be named later. So looking forward to seeing you, man, in like the 12 days from now. I'm sure we'll be talking again next Saturday and in the run-up to the draft. So we'll have a good time, and we'll continue to see your breakdown. So follow him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. Thanks, Emery. I'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Emery.
So that's it. We'll come back. We'll break down exactly what Emery was talking about, tight end position, wide receivers, and more. It's Mike and Joe on FST. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll follow up with that draft information and continue the debate.